So this is, I think, definitely the final week of entering the rest of God. So I'll do a quick recap. Week one, we said we must actively enter into rest. It isn't automatic. It doesn't fall out of the sky. Resting takes effort on our part. The second week, we looked at the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who rested while Martha worried. So these two sisters were very different. And we said, if we don't give Jesus the first place in our life and in our day, then worry and stress will take first place because we've left it wide open for them. If God isn't first in our lives, then the problem is, and we're worrying about it. So today for this final talk, I'm saying we need to know what season we are in, because knowing the season we're in will help us to rest in that season. So there's a lovely scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to dot about a little bit, so I'm not reading it all the way through. I'm starting at verse 1, I'm finishing at verse 11, but I am missing some bits out, okay? It says this: there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. And verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. It's a lovely scripture. You'll often hear it at funerals and maybe even weddings as well. I read this in my daily reading. Everything in life has a reason and a season. So there are times and seasons in life, and it really helps to know what season we're in. Knowing our season will help us understand the reason that we're doing this thing or living in this place, and that will help us find rest. We won't be so angry about things or frustrated, thinking we should be doing something else other than where we are, or we should be further on in our journey than we are. Some people have a midlife crisis because they think, I'm 40 and I've not reached the top of my career ladder yet. So just skip the midlife crisis. It's not worth the hassle, you know. Don't bother going there. Just rest in God instead. Right now, we're in a season of getting a child through school, okay? Some others are in a season of getting children through school. We're tied to the school calendar, the school holidays, and the school homework. And it's very tying, but you just know that that is a season you're in. So there's no point in getting frustrated about it. You just have to knuckle down and get on with it. Because getting frustrated won't change it. So we need to learn to rest in this season. You know, leadership can feel like a slow season at times. We want things to grow quickly. And actually, I believe our church is in a planting season. That's what we're doing right now. We've laid foundations. We've got wonderful people in our church. We've got fantastic foundations. And now we're in a planting season. We're planting seeds for God to grow them. Every invitation we hand out, every invitation to come along at Easter, to come along at Christmas, to come and see a water baptism, to join us for an afternoon tea or a men's breakfast, every Father's love letter on that back table that we put through someone's door is planting a seed for God to water, and in one day we will see the fruit of our labor. But until then, we'll keep planting until God says it's a different season and you can stop now. So there's no need to get frustrated, because God will water what we plant. All we have to do is plant it. All we have to do is invite that friend along. And if we know the season we're in, we can do what God's asked us to do, whether it's planting or whatever it is, and find rest at the same time. You know, when your kids are small, you're in a season of taking things more slowly. Even walking down the street takes time, you know, when they're toddling along. Getting ready to get in the car takes time. You've got lots of things to pack. You're in a season of not getting enough sleep, of staying home and not going clubbing, Okay, but it's okay, Adrian, you're out of that season now. You and Brenda can go clubbing anytime you like, okay? You're free from that. But it is only a season and it will pass. And before you know it, the kids leave home. And you miss the times when they were wakening you through the night and you got to rock them to sleep. You miss that. And you'd love to be able to do that again. You know, when our kids were small, money was tight. We were on one wage. So we did things that didn't cost much. Having fun does not need to cost much. A Friday night, we'd see us watching a movie on the television, making popcorn, dragging mattresses down the stair, and sleeping out on the living room for a camp out, you know? And it was a laugh. Playing games and laughing are free. You don't need to cost a penny, just some microwave popcorn. We didn't need someone else's fancy holiday. You know, friends were going abroad and all the rest of it. We weren't doing that. But we were happy to rest in our season. We're happy for them to have their season, but we were happy in our season. I want us to think about this. Some people are never content in whatever season they're in. They're never content there, and they will never find rest. So here's something to think about. The grass may be greener on the other side, but it still needs to be mowed. Once you get there, there's still work to do with it. So here's my first revelation. If you can't find rest in your season, you will not find it in someone else's. We need to be content with what we've got. Don't want their car or their house or their fancy holiday. Don't want their life or their season. Just focus on your own and find rest in the things that you're walking through, because there's treasure worth searching for in your season of life, in my season. You know, when we're growing up, we always want to be older. You know, if you ask a child how old they are, they'll say, oh, I'm nearly 8, and their 7th birthday was last week. You know, they always want to be older. But you get to a certain stage in life, we actually would like to rewind the clock a little bit. I'd like to be a little bit younger. Although I have to say, I would never go back in time without the knowledge that I've got now. What I've learned as life goes along is so precious to me, I wouldn't want to go back. Because if we did go back without our knowledge, we'd just make the same mistakes again. Because we didn't know right from wrong back then. So there's no point in going back and making the same mistakes second time around. We need to rest and be happy with the age we are at. You know, I've been talking to some people, a couple of different people recently, and they're reaching a milestone birthday, you know, or they've just had a milestone birthday. And I went, there's nothing to worry about. You know, when you're 30, you think, oh, no. I'm turning 30, I'm not in my 20s anymore. But one day you'll turn 50 and go, I wish I was turning 30. You know, then when you reach 50, it just starts flying by, and then all of a sudden you turn 60, and I refuse to worry about it. Because one day, with God's blessing, I'll turn 80, and I'll be going, gee whiz, I wish I was turning 60. There's no point in worrying about it. So stop worrying about your age, just enjoy the season. I could only think of one good reason to go back, and that would be to find God's rest back in that season that maybe I didn't have. Because finding his rest in what's gone on behind us can help us eradicate the worries that we have right now in the present. Because a lot of people today are still carrying the worries that they had from 10 years ago and 20 years ago. And so if they could take it to God and find rest in it, then that would be wonderful. We ministered to someone just a little while ago, Neil and I, and they were worried about something that had happened about 10 or 20 years ago. And we're trying to say to them, they needed to put that to rest. They needed to forgive themselves and receive God's forgiveness, because there's nothing they could do to go back and change it, but they could find rest right now and not carry it forward with them. You could think about how long the season is that you're in and how long it may last and what you can learn from it. When we were first married, we lived in a very small town in northeast Queensland, and there was just this gut feeling we weren't going to be there long. In fact, I felt God had said to me 2 years. But you can get that wrong. So I thought, well, I'm not going to write a book on that, because I could definitely be wrong there. And it was to the point of, we never bought new stuff. We thought, oh, a new washing machine we bought. Secondhand fridge, secondhand couch, secondhand table. We just got stuff from people. Oh, I've got a spare table, you know. That this will do for now. We don't want to buy a whole lot of stuff that in a few years' time we'll just have to sell again. And it was 2 years almost to the day that we left that place. And so it was a short season. And I've been in other times in my life where we bought a house and we thought, this will do for now. This is a good wee house. This is a good starter home. 30 years later, we're still there. You know, so sometimes you think it's going to be a short season, it ends up being long. Sometimes you think this is going to be a long season, and it ends up being short. But if you ask God, he will show you. The most important thing is, what can you learn in your season? So here is a prophetic word for all of us today, I think. Try to enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. The season will change. This season that we're in right now will pass. So don't get frustrated, but until it does pass, we need to find rest where we are and learn whatever we can learn. You know, if you have been around kids or you've been on a long journey with them, you may have heard this phrase, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, so basically it shows immaturity and impatience in our children. So here's my question today. How often do we ask God, are we there yet? Can I get out of this, God, ASAP, because I've had enough. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to be in this season another minute. And I wonder if that shows God some immaturity in us and impatience in us. I wonder if it's a sign to him that we're not quite ready for the new season and we've still got a lot to learn. I was in this job years ago now. I think I was in this job for 7 years, and I was probably miserable for at least 5 of those years. And I kept taking it to God. I kept putting my name on the transfer list. The transfer never, ever happened. You know, so I would just take it to God, and I just felt God saying I had more to learn. And in the end, I learned so much in that job. All of it, or most of it, was negative. I learned how not to treat people. I learned how not to speak to people. I learned how not to respect people, because that's how I was treated for those 5 years. I'd like to think it helped me in this season to treat others better than I was treated, to know what it feels like to be treated badly by someone. And even though I was miserable, I still had rest because I knew it was God that was keeping the door shut. My name was on that transfer list. No transfer came through. So God was keeping that door shut. There was more for me. I remember even saying to God, when I finally came to the end of myself, okay, God, I'll stay here. I will stay in this job until I'm gray and I retire. And I was only in my 20s. I thought, if that is what you want for me, because I just want what you want, and I want to learn all that you've got for me. All that I need to learn. I don't want to repeat the lesson 5 years down the track, because I'd been there and I'd done that, where you just go round the mountain and round the mountain because you're doing it your own way, you know. If we don't learn the lesson the first time, we may find that God has to take us back to revisit it, and I didn't want that. I thought, if this is a doozy of a lesson, let's just learn it first time round. Because we can end up with a new job and new people to work with, but it can be the same lesson. And I didn't want that to happen. I'd been around the mountain. I'd done things my way in the past. And now I wanted to do it God's way, because that was the quickest route. There was no shortcuts that were available. And I want us to note this. We'll only find rest by doing it God's way. So the quickest thing is just surrender. Just say, I surrender, God. I surrender, and I'm going to walk through this season with you. God has so much to teach us on our journey through life in every season. And if we try and escape it and take a shortcut with it, we think it's a shortcut, we'll miss the good stuff. We'll miss the blessings. So here's another revelation today. Every season has a blessing. Every single one. We just need to know what season it is and look for that blessing. And decide if there's more that we can learn and more that we can do and more blessings for us, we'll have it. We'll stay there until the job's done. And usually the job that God's doing is in us. But sometimes we're in a season that isn't our own making. Others have forced us into it. Circumstances have just landed on us, and we didn't choose that season. But we can still learn from it, and God can still bring good out of it. You know, bad circumstances were forced on Joseph. You know, Joseph with his colored coat. They were forced on him by his own family to begin with. And eventually he was thrown down a pit by them. And then another person threw him in prison. He was rejected and he was lied about. And it's just one catastrophe after another of negative things that happened to Joseph. It wasn't his ideal season. It wasn't the dream of his heart. Oh, I hope somebody throws me in prison soon. You know, I hope that happens to me. It wasn't any of these good things for Joseph, but it did not stop God blessing him. Joseph was in a horrendous season, a horrendous situation, and it was several years of all of these negative. It went from bad to worse. First he's in a pit, then he gets sold as a slave, then he's thrown in prison. And just when he thought things couldn't get worse, they got worse. But it did not stop God blessing him. So I don't know what season you're in, but if you're standing there thinking, I don't think things could get much worse, God can still bless you. You need to look for the blessings in that season. And the scripture from Genesis about that, which you probably know, Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And Joseph found a place of rest in the middle of those horrendous circumstances. In the middle of being in prison, he rose to the top and became the favorite of the head jailer. And he was, other prisoners were put in his charge, so he looked after the other prisoners. So he even got promotion when he was in jail. And if God can bless Joseph in the middle of those circumstances, he can do the same for us. So know your season and be determined to find something good in it, and be determined to find rest. I want to share a picture that I believe God gave me when I was preparing this talk. And I saw someone, and to begin with, they were just walking through a valley. And then it switched to them walking along a beach. And then it switched to them walking through a forest. So it was three very different settings. And I felt God saying, these were the different seasons of this person's life. So the first season was going through the valley. The second season was walking along a beach. The next season was walking through a forest. But as I watched this person walking along, they kept stopping and picking up a little stone, a little pebble. So they picked it up and put it in their pocket, walked along, picked up another one, put it in their pocket, and they just kept walking through all these different scenarios. And each pebble that they picked up was a reminder to them of the lesson that they had learned in that season. I've learned a lesson. I'm going to pick this stone up as a reminder. Sometimes you do that on holiday, don't you? I've got a shell in my bathroom. I've got a shelf that's got shells on it. And some of the shells came from different places. And I'm too much of a cheapskate to buy a souvenir, so I just collect one. And these shells remind me of that holiday. Well, the pebbles this person was putting in their pocket reminded them of the lessons they'd learned in each season that they'd gone through. And then they got to the end of their journey, and they took all the stones, the pebbles out of their pocket, and they handed them over to Jesus, because every single stone, it was no longer just a pebble, they had turned into precious stones. So what they put in their pocket was just grubby brown stones. What they took out was diamonds and emeralds and rubies and sapphires. So they turned into precious stones, and they handed them over to Jesus, and Jesus put them in a crown and placed them on the person's head, because it was their crowning glory, what they'd learned in these lessons. So the lesson we learn in life are like these precious stones. They become priceless. They could become of great value to us. So don't miss any of them, because if you miss them, you'll be all the poorer for it. Don't run away from the lessons that we're meant to learn. Some lessons aren't pleasant at the time, but if we can learn them, it's like a jewel in our crown. And people who don't learn, people who just say, no, not doing that, just give up every time, this is too hard, I'm giving up, I'm walking away. And people who don't learn the lesson, they don't stay, they will remain like our children, immature, impatient, and even ignorant of what God wanted them to learn. They'll keep asking God, are we there yet? And they will never find that place of rest. I've just got one more scripture, and it is, two more scriptures. This one is Psalm 1 and verse 3, and it gives us a description. It says, "We are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season." Look at that, in season. Fruit won't grow before its time. It only ripens in the right season. It will not grow in the wrong season. So if you're in Scotland, there's no point in looking for apples in January or February because they ripen in September. The apples are on the trees now, and they're still tiny, but they're getting bigger. So you have to wait for the right season. Don't run ahead of God, and don't try to pick the fruit before it's ripe. In other words, don't try to make it happen before God is ready for it to happen. Just stay in your season and find that place of rest. You know, sit under the apple tree till the apples appear, but find a place to rest. Then when I was out walking this week, I felt God say just a little phrase to me, but it triggered something in my thinking. And the phrase was, "It's a new day." I'm just walking along through the grass, just enjoying the scenery. And I felt God say, "It's a new day, Sandra. So rest and be happy today." And that led me to thinking about Psalm 11, verse 24, where it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Whatever season you're in, this is the season. If it's getting kids through school, it's the season you're in. You know, if it's in a place of work that we just need to keep grinding away at, that's the season that we're in. And we need to trust God for the next season. Don't wait until tomorrow for the season to change. Rejoice and rest today where we are right now. If we want to enter God's rest, we need to know the season and the reason for it. Rest comes when we know we're in the right place at the right time. Even when I was in that job where I was miserable for 5 years, I just knew God was with me and I just needed to just keep walking through it. At some point, the season will change, but we sometimes know it's not yet. It's just not yet. This season will change, but I need to be patient and keep going to the end. And in that waiting time, we can enter the rest that God has for us. You know, some people have to keep working right now. It's their season to build up their pension. And work might not be great, but your pension will be. You just have to keep going and build up that pension. And there's no use kicking against the season. I can remember one time when I was looking for a job, I got a phone call to say, "Come and take this job for 4 weeks." That was all 1 month. And the message that came from the head teacher of that school was, "Can you just ask her to contain these children for the last 4 weeks of the year? Just contain them." They were out of the box. Some of them were scraping them off the ceiling. So I went in with my knees knocking together. I just had to contain these children. Every single day was hard going. Every day I had this little tally mark in my jar. I've done 5 days, I've done 10 days, you know. I marked it off every day, and I was not happy in any day in that month, but I did it. And then I got another job, I got a temporary job, and that became a full-time job. And then I wanted to go on maternity leave, okay? So then you were contacting the region to find out, am I entitled to maternity leave? I've not been working for you that long. And the limit was 2 years. If you've been working for 2 years, you got full-time maternity leave. If I hadn't done that 1 month of miserable teaching in that really, really difficult class, I would not have qualified for my 2 years maternity leave. And God knew that. God knew that. So I stuck it out, and my 2 years was complete. And I got all the money and all the benefits going. So that was wonderful. So sometimes you think, I don't know the reason for this. But in the future, you just might. At some point, the season will change, but we need to know if it's now or if we've got to wait. Okay, and sometimes, you know, we need to just put on our big boy and our big girl pants and say, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to get through this. But it should be more than just gritting our teeth. It should be looking for the blessings as well, looking for the good stuff. Remember, there's always good things in every season, so we're the ones that need to look for them. Look for the gems in life, because that will lead us to a place where we can rest. Know your season and the reason you're there, because the secret to resting is to enjoy where we are on the way to where we're going in every season of our life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm just going to finish by reading this. I suppose it's a kind of poem. It doesn't rhyme or anything. You may have heard it, but it's actually quite good. And it's talking about, I'll be happy when. But it's happiness is also about resting. I'll rest when. I'll be happy when. So I just want to read this in closing, and it says this. We convince ourselves that life will be better after we get married, have a baby, then another. Then we're frustrated that the kids aren't old enough and we'll be more content when they are. After that, we're frustrated that we've got teenagers to deal with. We will certainly be happy when they're out of that stage. We tell ourselves that our life will be complete when our spouse gets his or her act together, when we get a nicer car, when we're able to go on a nice vacation, or when we retire. The truth is, there's no better time to be happy than right now. If not now, then when? Your life will always be filled with challenges. It's best to admit this to yourself and decide to be happy anyway. Happiness is the way. So treasure every moment that you have and remember that time waits for no one. So stop waiting until your car or your home are paid off, until you get a new car or home, until your kids leave the house, until you go back to school, until you finish school, until you lose 10 pounds, until you gain 10 pounds, until you get married, until you get a divorce, until you retire, until summer, until winter, until fall, until you die. There's no better time than right now to be happy. Happiness is a journey, not a destination. So work like you don't need the money, love like you've never been hurt, and dance like no one's watching. And then you'll find rest.